The January 15th meeting of the Cambria Community Healthcare District Board of Directors is hereby called to order at 1 p.m. January 15th at the old Cambria Grammar School in Classroom 12. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. Begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. All members of the Board of Directors are here, and so are Mike McDonough, who is our district administrator, and Simone Rathbun, who is our administrative assistant to Mike. Seeing no members of the public, we will move on beyond the public comment period to the consent agenda, which has one item, approving the minutes from the December 18th, 2019 regular meeting. Is there any discussion of the minutes? If not, I'll entertain a motion to accept the minutes as written.
So moved.
Bill Rice moved, and Lori Millier seconded. All in favor of accepting the regular board meeting minutes from December 18th?
Yes.
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none. It's a vote of 5-0.
We'd like to have a motion to, instead of the order this is, go to the concurrent agenda and then go to the rest of the agenda.
Okay. Dr. Miguel Hernandez has moved that the special concurrent meeting agenda be handled next in line prior to the regular agenda, and it's for the purpose of not holding up either our of the two people that would participate in closed session, the labor negotiator and our staff counsel. Do I hear a second of the motion?
Mm-hmm. I'll second.
Barbara Bronson Gray seconded the motion. Well, all in favor?
Aye.
Signify by aye. Any opposed? Okay, the motion carries. So, we will now move directly to closed session.
Okay, we are out of closed session and back into open session at 2:29 p.m.
There is one reportable action out of closed session, and that is that we have authorized our staff counsel and our administrator to discuss a letter submitted by paving contractor Burke to see if we can resolve the matter that Burke raised in their letter to the administrator. So the next order of business are the, let's see, we approved the meeting minutes. The next order is the operations report, I believe.
Yep.
Okay, and Tim Bennis, our operations lead, has joined us. And we have read your report. Do you want to highlight anything, Tim?
No, I'm here to answer any questions that you guys have.
Okay, does any board member have a question?
Just go back to your experience so far this month, that we're at a very high run rate.
That is correct. I believe we're at 50 calls already. Currently,
okay, you need to speak up.
We're about 50 calls already, and I believe it's around 35 transports. Currently, right now, we actually have both units on calls. Medical 11 is in San Luis Obispo, 12 just went by the fire station for a call. I'm not sure exactly which one, though, what it was. So we've almost doubled our call volume since last year.
Okay.
I have a question. Does it have any...
Here, Barbara, speak up.
Do you see any negative impact, anything that we need to do? Are we staffed enough?
During the daytime, we're not having issues with staffing. At night, we ran the numbers, and San Luis is transporting more frequently. In December, I believe it was five calls that they actually had to come into Cambria and transported three of the five calls. Mm-hmm. So we're starting to have issues at night where San Luis is having to come in and respond into our area.
Has there been any problem as a result of that?
No, not yet.
Have the response times from them been tracked and within our requirements?
No, we're outside of our requirements because they're coming from Via Creek or Morro Bay.
So maybe our internal requirements of safety and health. And
yeah, we're over the 10-minute response. They're over the 10-minute response time.
By how much?
It depends on where they're coming from. I'd have to go pull the cobwebs and look.
But might it be possible for next month's packet to look at the San Luis response times to our people to help us understand? It would be helpful, I think.
So when I read the report, there were no, for our area, there was no response times that exceeded the...
Correct.
But if San Luis transported, then they did, correct?
Then they would, yes.
Okay.
Because they're coming from, like I said, either Via Creek, Morro Bay, San Luis, Templeton.
Or the top of the hill.
Or the top of the hill, yeah.
Okay.
And conversely, if we have moved up and covered,
for them
to respond in their service area, we probably have exceeded
correct.
Similar times. It's just the reality of move up and cover.
Right.
But there might be, if we see there's a pattern and there are enough long response times to people in Cambria, there are actions we could consider taking, that a whole range of actions, I would think, from negotiating for a different move up and cover location if we can, to augmenting our night shift if necessary. I mean, if we see that the response times on runs are longer than we're comfortable with, I think we should.
And there's a trend.
And we can, Tim and I can work together to track and do some more analysis of that. Is it 7 days a week, or are there certain days of the week where night calls are an issue?
Or is this just seasonal?
Or is it seasonal? Yeah. So, we can do some more analysis of that. My other concern is, when we go the other direction, like Bill said, and cover for them, are we running more calls, which takes our resource out of the area, which would impact us?
And maybe we talked to EMS about what they're seeing on the global picture.
The only thing we do know, Tim has alluded to, is that San Luis Angeles is having some staffing issues where they're not. That may impact their ability to cover.
Okay, I don't have any questions. Anybody have any questions on the transport activity report or anything else operations-wise? Thanks for the great job you continue to do, Tim.
Thank you, guys.
One quick note on his report. He talks about the electrical contractor working on the kitchen. That work was completed yesterday.
And for less than estimated.
He did it less than he had estimated. He dropped off the invoice today.
Yeah, so now the hot plate and the microwave can be operated at the same time.
Correct.
And we don't need a sprinkler system because we're not putting an oven in.
Correct.
And it turns out, because Bill and I were just breaking up from the finance meeting, it turned out somebody had capped off an existing conduit that was the right type of line, and the electrician simply reconnected it to one of the appliances, and he was done. So,
yeah, it was a simpler fix than he thought.
Yeah.
That's why his invoice is less.
Yeah.
So that's good.
Okay. Moving on then to the administrator's report.
All right, you have a copy in your packet. I'll be brief. as possible, but answer any questions you may have. As far as the trust, I switched over to Mechanics Bank, kind of got to a stalemate with Pacific Bank. The lady here was very kind, very helpful, but she said this, you know, this is, am I not projecting?
Yes, project, please.
Yes, that this this account is a little more complex for them than they can be quickly done. She didn't say they couldn't do it, but it would possibly take a projected amount of time. And she recommended we go to the bank that we normally bank with, which is Mechanics Bank. So I did. And they're working on that, the paperwork, to do just that. So I'll keep you up to date on that.
And I signed and had notarized my trusteeship documents yesterday, and it turned out Simone was just going to pick up the mail when I was walking out with the trust documents, so I just handed them to her, and that was easy.
Yeah. So he's now officially the trustee of the trust. And I sent a copy to Matt O'Leary's office and put the originals in my file. The original trust on. So that's all taken care of. I'm working with Chris Delaney on the 1023 application. That's going well. Waiting through that paperwork, but it's, you know, I had a good long phone call with him, and he walked me through it. So I think that's, I feel comfortable with that. And we did receive a $1,000 donation from a local resident, and that's sitting in my cabinet as well, waiting for an account to put it in.
Two questions on that. One is, can we send him a thank you note for that gift? And then I believe the gift was in 2019.
Yes, it was in December.
So then we need to send a letter, an official letter that is a tax-related letter, and give you a copy of what.
And I'll work on that. But Chris Delaney said that yes, I need to do that, but not just yet until I file that 1023 paperwork. We don't have to wait for it to come back, but I need to file it, and then we can officially give him a tax receipt. And I discussed it with the gentleman. He came to the office, and he's not concerned, you know, he's like, he's fine with that. So there might be a bit of a delay. The EMS billing kickoff call was really good. We had that already. Simone and myself, we've begun the process. They gave Simone a template of things to fill out. She has completed that, sent it off to them. The ball's now in their court. And I think this morning they said an email that they're setting up next week, the first what they call training day, and that's, you know, live online type of a thing. So that's rolling along. They anticipate the timeline to be a tad shorter than what I proposed originally. They think we'll be done by the end of February. That we can implement March 1st, but more on that later. But it's looking well, and they're extremely helpful. I just want to mention the AB 1705. That was the bill that Barbara brought up a while back, and I just thought I'd track it and see where it's at. It passed. It's done, as Walker said. It replaces the current GEMT program. We don't know exactly how it's going to impact us, but allegedly it's going to improve. It's going to be better for us. It will reimburse us for Medi-Cal shortfalls and without doing what GMT did. But it will not be implemented until July 1st of 2021. So we've got some time before that will go into full effect, and they're supposed to send us more detail. But if the bill passed, governor signed it, it's a done deal. So I just wanted to let you know. Personnel change, Diane Sievers has notified me that she's going to step down as our part-time bookkeeper. And I said, it says in my notes, the replacement searches have begun. I interviewed a lady yesterday, another Diane, and she's coming in Friday to meet with Simone and I, and the previous Diane. They're both named Diane, so it's a little confusing. But the previous Diane versus the older, or the newer Diane, are going to come in Friday, and we're going to sit down and go over stuff.
And it's the Diane that you know, Barbara.
Yeah, Diane.
Oh, okay.
Diane Kubat.
Kubat, yes.
Oh, good.
I met with her yesterday. Really nice lady. And seems very talented.
Yes,
and
she's
familiar with trust. She's also a notary. She said that would be something she could do for us at no charge if she's an employee. Blah, blah, blah. So it's a good fit. And she was with 30 years with Chase Bank, mm-hmm. In accounting, bookkeeping, and management, various roles. So I think that I was very happy to locate the herd. Financial report. I identified it.
Why don't you hit facilities improvements first?
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry.
And then go into financial report.
My copy has got it backwards. The facility improvement, we talked about already, the kitchen is done. Phone system has gone to dismal failure. It works when it feels like it. We're very frustrated. For example,
I called the other day and said the voicemail box hadn't been set up for this number.
Yeah, which it should say, if this is 911, hang up and call.
And I think you've had that experience before, too, Barbara.
I think it's when you're on the line or something.
Yeah, or in the middle of, with Simone and I both see this, in the middle of a conversation, it'll go to speakerphone. Just by itself, randomly.
Yeah.
Or disconnect.
But
anyway.
So you've gotten one quote, right?
Yes.
And then you're gonna go and get at least another quote.
Coast Electronics has provided us with a quote to put in a small business phone system, an actual, with like normal people have, normal businesses have. I've looked it over. It looks good. It has everything we need.
You just have to show competition.
Yeah, I'll get a second quote on the same system. Excuse me, but it looks good to me. So,
and there's money in the facilities budget for
it. Yes, it will fit our budget and give us a system that we can actually function, which is very important, especially now we're getting even billing and all.
So you once again, Tim Bennis to the rescue.
He is my hero.
Well, can I add something?
Sure.
So in October, I questioned how many transports. So from February of 2019 to December, or to October of 2019, the end of October, San Luis Ambulance had 14 transports in our area that night. Those are nighttime transports.
February to October.
Yes.
Okay.
So about 1.5 a month.
Yeah.
But this month they've had.
But this month it's gone up a little more because the month of January has gotten busier. But the entire system's gotten busier. So I will. I'll reach back out and get the correct numbers for the entire up to this point. But I just wanted to add that because I knew I had the information. I just wasn't ready for it this time, so I had to go look.
Yeah, but then also Barbara asked, and how long did what were the response times? So that's the added.
The longest one I have on there is 21 minutes.
From dispatch to
on scene.
Not bad, considering.
Yeah.
Yes.
Considering every second counts.
Yeah. Hold your breath. We'll be there soon.
Hold your breath. No. Anyway.
So.
All right. So now, you want to go into the financial report?
Yes. As I noted, this was of course a week ago when I shared this, I had. Discovered or noted a tax revenue shortfall for December, an anticipated amount wasn't there. Contacted Aaron Kessler, the county property tax manager, and I won't belabor the whole process. It was multiple emails and calls, but the good news is we got it sorted out, and the funds were deposited yesterday, so of $157,000.
And we were expecting $12,000.
Yeah, instead of $12,000.
So in January.
So that that money is in our account now, and I learned a lot along the way as far as how this works, so that I can track it more accurately moving forward.
And anticipate, yeah.
Yeah. So I know now how it works, and Aaron and I are I've built a little relationship with her. So yeah. Much more confident than I was in December.
So now, do you want to let Bill go through the financial reports?
I have a quick question.
Oh, sorry.
I'm sorry. Before you go to financial, on the website content and the member, where are you with the?
I met with Jeff. Jeremy. Thank you. The other day, Jeremy, day before yesterday, and outlined. What the board talked about last time and so forth. And he and I are working on it. And we believe that he can have everything ready to go February for you. And we'll do like a pre-launch where you can look it over before it goes live. But yeah.
But you can sit, you're going to make content changes on your own.
Yeah.
Right, but then he'll give you a way to access.
I met with Jeremy for about an hour, and we went over those details and told him what I wanted and how I wanted it to look and so forth. So.
I thought the system was set up so that you could make the copy changes now.
I will once it's live, but at this point, not at this point, I can't make those changes because it's
because we have to kill the old system and then bring up the new system.
And what he has now is just residing on the computer. You know, so but event that's the beauty of the new system is I'll be able to go in there and do stuff, easily and quickly.
In regard to that, you had sent out in the last week a director's directory.
Yes.
Okay.
The new directory.
Are you planning to put that on the website?
Yes.
I wanted
you all to look at it first.
I think we should not include home addresses and home phone numbers for the directors.
I agree.
Yeah.
That we should, if anyone has a complaint, a problem, whatever, give them sufficient information that they can write a letter to me at the healthcare district.
Yeah, and that's why I sent that to you first, because the old one that I pulled off the wall had all that. So I just updated the old one.
So
it was in our lobby, and I thought, it seems weird that your home address and phone number would be on there. But it was on the old one.
The one that was on the web?
No, it was on the wall in our lobby.
Oh.
And that's
it's
what
the
I
one. It's the one Heidi had sent to us all.
Right, so we always had one that we had of each other, for each other, but I had never seen it posted.
Yeah.
And then there's one on the website that has our email.
Mm.
And that's how we've done it in the past.
All right, so then you want to pull the one off the wall that's mounted above our
all that
mail.
I mounted the new one above your mailboxes in the lobby, but I was a little curious about that much.
At least I gave you the right direction when you asked me yesterday.
Yeah.
You wanted to know if you should post it outside. And I said,
on the outside bulletin board, I was a little concerned about just putting it out outside.
Okay.
And you wouldn't want your address out there, is it?
So there was just a quick my notes. On the financials, before we go to bills, you looked over some of the stuff, but we kind of mentioned it. The reason that interest is zero for December is because I don't have access to the account yet. There's interest money there. I don't know how much it is. So just, I wanted to point out that we're working on all of those things. I think, see if there was anything else that's really exciting for him.
Okay, I'm going to direct my comments will be directed starting with page 12 in the board packet. Page 12 is the budget analysis, and as you can see, it summarizes by month the financial performance, both revenues and expenses, for the first 6 months of the fiscal year. We'll be talking specifically about December and December compared to budget, and then year to date compared to budget in a moment. But I did want to highlight something that is new here that wasn't here last month, and it's almost 90% down the line, the equipment payments, which is the fourth or fifth line up from the bottom on expenses. You'll see in October there was the second payment for unit 18 of $79,083.
$7,983.
And then in November, the first payment for unit 20 of $5,035. Both of those payments were made in those months as required by the financing agreement. But if you go back to previous months' budget analysis, the same sheet, they did not appear there. Okay, they were left off, and it's probably a function of a learning curve of new personnel learning to where to put things. But Mike, when pointed out to you, you were asked to develop a system to make sure that A, the payments were made on time quarterly, and two, that they were included in the finances in the future.
Right, and I did in the last couple weeks, discovered that, you know, that occurred to me. I saw it and it looked like there's something missing here. So I bird-dogged, you know, went back to the finance company. Long story short, I now have more accurate information because I went to our files. There were gaps in our files that were not helpful. So now I have a more accurate tracking mechanism to follow these required payments. And I spoke with Simone as well, so she's going to, you know, between the two of us, we'll check each other to make sure that those, you know, what, for example, what occurred in October, the payment on the budget sheet was missing. It wasn't there. So we went back and looked, and the check was written. The check was sent. So it just wasn't recorded in the budget analysis. So now I want to go back and moving forward, when those payments are made, I will... I'll check to see if they got put in there.
Well, the other thing is, didn't you say that when you sign the check, you will have a master sheet of saying this is where this expense goes in QuickBooks?
Yeah, part of the issue is, and I'm working on resolving the resolution, and it helps when we get this
you need to project.
Is when we, because if she writes the check, goes into QuickBooks, that's not a problem.
It was because a couple of these payments weren't entered into QuickBooks.
They were in QuickBooks.
They were in QuickBooks. They didn't.
Well, they didn't get into the general ledger.
Right. This
doesn't come from general.
This ledger. Is not a QuickBooks report.
Okay.
Right. And that's where the gap was. Is everything else is automatic except this? This has to be done manually. I'd like to see if we can program or do something to where it would go.
It would generate from QuickBooks.
It would slide over from QuickBooks into this report. So I'm going to be talking with my bookkeeper and see if we can
that.
Because that's where the gap came.
Okay.
And it was in QuickBooks, it was in the general ledger, it was where it belonged. It wasn't here. That's a gap.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Just wanted to make sure if any board member goes back in time and looks at previous month's financials, you'll see the absence. You'll notice the absence of those two payments. I want to talk a little bit about page 13. Page 13 is the monthly summary of revenue and expenses for the month of November compared to our original budgeted amount for the month of November. And when you look at this, be it the revenue line up top where we have a negative variance of over $144,000, or at the very bottom, a negative variance of $105,330. On paper here, this looks like the month was a disaster. Okay? But the issue is all on the revenue side of the equation. As Mike indicated and included in his report, the county is going through some personnel changes, and they fell behind in getting the tax payments to us, and there was $157,000, substantially all of that related to the month of December that we didn't receive in the month of December. And if you would add that in here on the revenue line, everything comes normal.
Do you want to also, one of you mention about, is it called the Teeter agreement?
I can address it, I think, is one of the things I'm learning
is
that these tax revenues, as you know, come in when people pay their taxes. If they don't pay their taxes, well, then there could be an issue. But, however, due to the Teeter, it's called the Teeter Amendment or whatever action that was done previously, let's say we get to June or later in the year and... April's when a lot of
people it's by June 30th.
Yeah, and so if people, hypothetically, if people don't pay their taxes on time, the county will go ahead and front us the money so that we don't suffer. And then they'll do what they need to do to collect the late payments and so forth. So it's just nice to know that is there as a for our budgeting purposes. So we can count on
right.
Revenue.
And the only downside for us is that we then don't share in any penalties.
Late fees
or late fees.
Keep that.
Yeah,
county.
Yeah, but now that amendment has been in place for a number of years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it's not something brand new.
Well, no, it's not brand new, but it's something I certainly wasn't aware of.
Okay.
So
going back to page 13, one additional comment that I have is down below in the last caption where it says contingency reserve. We had budgeted $20,000 to be made, transferred to the contingency reserve in December. We did not make that transfer, and it was a function of completing paperwork with LEAF to actually get the monies there. You will see later in the meeting when we talk about the mid-year budget update that money was not forgotten and not lost.
Local agency investment fund?
Yeah, that we've included that in the second 6 months of the budget year. Page 14, which doesn't have a number, is the same presentation, but it's the first 6 months actuals compared to the first 6 months budget.
And to be looking at the correct one, the bottom right-hand column number is 111,904 with parentheses around it.
In your original packet, there's a page 14, amended one.
Right. It doesn't have a number.
So if it has a PC page number, that's the wrong one.
It actually has.
It's wrong one. It's my printer issue, but that's okay.
Okay.
Here. Go ahead.
But when you look at this for the first 6 months, again, it's not very pretty, and it's a function of the biggest period of time that for cash receipts is the month of December. And as we talked about, they didn't give us $157,000 in December. So looking at this report, there's a negative total variance in revenue of $146,971, but when you apply the $157,000 back where it should be and where it was budgeted, okay, the numbers and the results turn around to positive. And then page 15 is the full year budget updated for the first 6 months actuals, which is on the left hand side of the line down the middle. And January through June is the original approved budget back on June 12th, prior to the start of this fiscal year. And if you go to the very last column called increase-decrease, and if you go to the bottom of that column, you see $111,904, which agrees to page 14.
Yeah, new 14.
New 14. So that's how these statements fit together. And it gives you the actuals for the first 6 months by line item, by month, and then it gives you the projected amount which was budgeted for the remainder of the year. This page 15, when we get to the item on the agenda for the mid-year budget, this will be our starting point. And everything else looks good over the next number of pages. The thing of note is page 25. Page 25 is a profit max report. It's been included, you're probably familiar with this, it's been included each month for eons in the board package. This is for the as of December 31st of 2019, and we have over $500,000 in our receivable. It's $507,516, of which $117,000 of that amount is bill patient. The remainder, or $389,000, is due from insurance companies, and this is aged, and you can see the aging as you go up and across. That of the insurance, of the total amount of $507,000, we have $157,753 over 120 days.
So,
which is not good.
Simone has been looking at this proactively, and I don't know if you have any particular stories you want to share with us as to what you found, but why don't you go ahead and do that? In fact, I will bring the mic over to you so you don't have to project like I've asked Mike to project.
Well, get that line. The aging was presented by ProfitMax. I ran it today in the billing software, and it's no longer 83,000. It's down to 63,000 now. And I'm thinking it might be because I've been having them do some follow-up on some of the older claims. And I think they are aware that I'm watching some of the older claims, so they're doing some things.
Simone will CC emails to them, to me, and it's pretty much daily that she's lighting a fire under them on these things. And
well, it needs to be worked daily. There should always be a claim or two that's looked at if there's an older claim. That's how you do the aging normally. But I looked at some of the older ones in certain insurances, like the Blue Cross, and there's just almost $18,000, and all of, and that's four claims. And all four of those claims are still pending, and the reason they were pending is because Blue Cross needed medical records. So they've sent the medical records, and I'm not 100% sure how accurate their notes are because sometimes they put notes in after the fact. But supposedly they're all being processed now. So those four claims.
Strange how they're being processed when you question them.
Yes. And then there's a couple other just examples. There was one TRICARE claim that was over $4,000 that they had actually sent to the collection agency, and this was October of 2017 date of service. They sent it to the collection agency in May of 2018. Well, right away, the collection agency got the correct ID number. So they must have sent it the ID number to ProfitMax. They billed the insurance, and then the insurance said, TRICARE said, well, we're not the primary, UnitedHealthcare is. Well, UnitedHealthcare has a 3-month billing limit. So even if we turn around and bill UnitedHealthcare, they're going to say it's too late. So that was a missed claim. That was missed revenue. And that just went to collections without anybody even looking at it to see why it was not paid. So, I mean, I could probably give you example after example, and we could be here till 6, but...
So then that's a real disservice to the customer.
Exactly.
It's a disservice to the customer, and it's a disservice to our taxpayers.
Well, but, right. Yes, but for customers now in collections, because...
Right.
Well, I think, didn't we pull it back from collections?
For that one? Yes, we pulled it back from collections, but now it's been sitting in there for two years. That balance is still sitting there.
Yeah, but we should.
In the AR, and I emailed them and said, this is uncollectible. It should be written off. You already sent it to collections. Why is it still in our AR?
Right. Yeah, it should be written off because you can't. Us having made a mistake or our billing agent having made a mistake.
It's not the patient's
responsibility.
The patient. No.
These are just other examples. Wise to
thank you.
To bring this in house. The thing that I look at every month is just calls me. And if you're looking at page 25, and you go halfway down where it says Medicare, there's $6,882 over 120 days old with Medicare. Medicare pays in 14 days.
Well, one thing that Simone examined, all that was missing was the patient's Medicare number.
Yeah.
That was when they wanted to send the collections. That was on a collection review list, but I looked at it and said, all that's missing is the Medicare number. I got an updated pay sheet and sent it to them and said, I don't have Medicare.
And the problem with Medicare is they sent an explanation of benefits saying it's denied because it's too late.
Yeah.
That we may be out of luck as well.
She showed me one, I don't remember exactly which payer it was, but it's been in our chart for 5 years. It's 5 years old.
Hmm.
And I just, I know it's a genius, but hello.
Okay, and so what I've asked Simone to do in the future, when we provide a payer aging, is to highlight, say, accounts that are over 90 days, and say over $1,000 or $1,500. She can pick the appropriate level. The other thing that she pointed out to me the other day, and it's not the first time, where someone wants to pay the $300 non-resident fee that was charged before we had a rate increase, and they try to call ProfitMax, get no answer, and so then they call here, and they first of all, they don't understand what's a non-resident fee. I'm a resident of California, I guess they say, and we say, but or Simone tells them, you have to be a resident of our
healthcare district.
And once she explains that, they say, fine, and then they make the payment.
Now, I wonder, in the culture where we refer to residents one way and all that, if there's a better term to put on the bill so people won't react that way, like out of district, or might be other terms as well, because I can see why someone, when you think about, are you a resident of California, is what you hear, you're not really a resident of a county.
You could just change it to district resident.
Out of district fee.
Out of district fee. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Out of district
resident fee.
Yeah.
And the people when she's contacted, just so you know, she's contacted patients and so forth. They've been very cooperative. They're like, oh yeah, I want to pay my bill. Okay.
They don't have a problem with the fee once they understand what's more.
And other bills, other invoices as well. When she needs contact, they're like, oh, I'll send you a check.
What a wise decision it was to go with profit.
Pretty big though.
Because I look through to how happy they are with the service they received, and that's why they're very happy to pay the bill.
Yeah. Well, we did that.
I wouldn't want to have to try to say no to you either.
Okay. Is there anything else on the financial review?
Yep.
All right. Moving on then to item D3 on the agenda, President's Report. I only have two things to report. One of them is a handout in your board packet, and that is thank you to all the board members for agreeing to serve as either chair or member of our various committees. At Barbara's recommendation, we have disbanded the communications committee, and within our bylaws, there is a requirement for the administrator to be the chief spokesman for the district, but we will handle interface with the media according to our bylaws rather than having a committee. The other thing that Barbara started last year was after meeting with the heads of the other public agencies in town, the school board and the services district, there's a flyer that goes out periodically with news about the district, and she wrote that, and I guess it'll fall to me to write it.
Or to gather the information. First.
Well, we have a meeting next Tuesday at noon. It'll be nice if it'll be at 11, but at noon, that involves the district managers and also the presidents of the board of directors and so on. So, yeah, it's going to be at the fire hall. Oh, yeah.
Hmm. They have a proposal.
Yeah, well, yeah, they have a proposal.
Who?
The district, right? The services district?
Yeah. They want to fix the broken meter. That's one thing. This is a new system.
Anyway, what I was told yesterday was they wanted thousands of dollars to help fix their gas pump.
Yeah.
If I understood it correctly.
Broken meter. There's a computer that logs everything.
Right.
It's not functioning.
Did we ask them to help fix our roof? Seriously.
I know.
You think about it.
That's where we're going
to
meet.
They use our services. They get to log miles because we go out on calls. See?
Right.
Yeah. It's not right for them to ask us to help fix the meter. Yeah. So, I have preconceived notions about this. Anyway, so, Tim?
Sorry.
No, go ahead. If you have something to add.
Yeah. So I made a phone call and talked to Baby Doers, who actually delivers the fuel to the gas station.
At the firehouse.
They would be willing to set us up with our own fuel account and a credit card. The difference is that it would cost the district two to five cents more than the sticker price if we went with a fuel card and got fuel like a Chevron or Shell. We currently have fuel.
Two to five cents more than what we're paying now?
No, than what the sticker price is. Then
what the pump says?
They want the pump says?
Yeah, because they charge us a separate processing fee. I know it's crazy.
That's a deal.
But Doers also was talking about putting in a pump for us, if we would be interested in putting in our own pump station. And that's something that we might start seriously thinking about. Because we do use a fair amount of fuel.
At the district office, or?
Yeah. At our property. And that's part of the discussion next week.
Well, Tim, do you know what the price per gallon savings is by getting it up at the fire station? Do you have some notion of that?
I do, actually, because I get the I calculate the mileage, and then we get a bill from the CSP. So we're paying about $1 less a gallon than if we went to the gas pump and got it.
Ooh, it's big savings.
Which adds up. But if we went through and had our own system, it depends on how much fuel we have. I could get an I kind of tabled the idea for a while with Ken, but I can touch base with him and probably within the next week have an answer for you guys.
Maybe I would suggest you not do anything until you have this meeting
Tuesday.
To see what the deal is.
And having your own, there's a lot of maintenance and space there's a lot of issues associated.
There are environmental issues with it.
Right.
Well,
permitting
and
the
job.
Yeah.
No,
we have our own.
Well, even if you have your own,
they set the tank.
They
fill the tank.
It's actually there. It's on your property, but it's there.
Like, we're basically leasing the tank.
Yeah, but it'd be underground, wouldn't it?
No, it'd be above ground.
The one at the firehouse is above ground.
Do you see right now? I guess
it's the vault.
Both fire stations have it. In fact, the vault system is at every county fire station that's in the state is that vault system. It's a steel-reinforced steel tank and a pump.
Does Cal Fire have one as well? Have we thought about seeing what they would give us in the way of...
They don't have gasoline. They have limited gasoline up here, so it would be hard. But we could talk to them, but I'm pretty sure...
So they have diesel.
They do have diesel, yeah.
And
so right now
we have one diesel and one gas ambulance?
We have three diesels and one gasoline.
Oh, 16 and 17 are diesels?
Correct.
And 18's a diesel?
Correct.
And then 20's a
gas.
Gas.
We'll get more information.
Okay. Property and facilities?
Well, we're planning on meeting next Friday. We have a new member of the committee, who's Bruce Beery, who is an architect in town, who did the renovation plans for the John Lynn Medical Building where the California Foundation Partners is based. So we're hoping that his architectural savvy will assist us as we take on the goals for the year.
What time is it?
Let's look at my notes. I'm waiting for one member to...
She had proposed it for 10 o'clock, and you would have to notice it, what, by tomorrow? Or is it 48
Monday.
Hours?
Monday.
This Friday or next Friday?
Next Friday.
So
we could... Oh.
End of next week.
Right, not this Friday.
Oh, well, I'm not available the end of next... I'm not available next Friday. I thought it was this Friday that you were talking about.
I don't have my calendar here. If you're not available, then there's no meeting.
So all right. So I'll be back the following week.
When do you leave?
I will.
I leave on the 11th, and I come back on the or sorry, not on the 11th. What am I talking about? I leave on the 21st, and I come back on the 26th.
Okay.
And then.
So you're gone all next week, basically.
So, well, except for Monday.
Yeah,
if it is Friday, I didn't read my calendar. If it is, I shall confirm with you.
Okay. All right.
And give me an agenda items that you want.
And the only, yeah, I'd have to look and see. The following week's a little clogged, but I'll make time if we can do it either early in the day.
If it's this Friday, it shows that I'm still not fully adjusted to the new year.
Well, maybe. Anyway, I mentally I said, she wants to have a property and facilities meeting 2 days after the board meeting, but
it might
I could be wrong too. Certainly.
We will find out.
Okay.
If it's this Friday, we need to hustle.
All right.
So I don't think it is.
Dr. Hernandez. Healthcare advocacy and education.
Well, being that I was disabilitated, there hasn't been any meetings.
Okay.
So I'm back into doing something.
We need healthcare advocacy for you.
Yeah.
May I bring up an event that I already scheduled that you might want to be aware of? The previous chair. I've gone ahead and arranged Michelle Zulum, who's the instructor from Slo County Public Health Fall Prevention Program, that she's going to start an 8-week series of classes starting April 13th. She's actually going to offer it's going to be over 2 hours. The first hour will be fall prevention for 6 weeks, followed by two classes on healthy aging, and then and that'll be from 11 to noon, and then from 12:15 to 1:15, she's going to do a strength and balance class, and those are all free to the public. And so I can get you that information. And I spoke with Barbara, but I guess I'll address it to you, Iggy, as some way of putting that information in the quarterly newsletter that might go out in the service district.
So, yeah, send me a copy as well.
I will. Yeah.
If you have a flyer, I'll post it.
And then. I've brought up a number of times, and I've been told, sure, no problem. But I would like maybe some more definitive commitment on the part of operations to do Heimlich maneuver training at our local eating and drinking establishments.
I'll make that a priority for next month.
We were talking about some of that outreach stuff with maybe even an AED program.
In the grants committee. But we'll get to that.
Yeah. Anyway, so I really think we should do it. And I still... Anyway, it was brought up with someone I know frequents Camozzi's. Moses. And... fortunately, he knew the Heimlich maneuver when the time came, but he thought it would be a great thing for the health district to teach that to the staffs in between all their calls. So don't do it between 8 o'clock at night and 8 o'clock in the morning, but it would have to be done at a time when their staffs are pretty much there, so it might be like a late afternoon kind of thing.
Or several days, over the course of a couple days.
Yeah. Well, I have a feeling that you'd want to bring that training to each establishment.
Yes.
Over maybe a period of a month or so. So, anyway. Okay. Finance. Mr. Rice.
The Finance Committee has been active working on the mid-year budget update, which is now complete and will be presented later in this meeting under regular business.
Okay. Grants. Lori.
Well, functioning as an ad hoc committee last week.
Ad hoc?
Well, we were. Just noticed we're now standing. So it wasn't noticed, but we did meet last Thursday
to discuss where we were with the FEMA grant, the Assistance to Firefighters grant application, which still has not been announced as far as this hasn't been open for submission yet.
Well, that's later on in the agenda.
Okay, so we did meet on that, and then we did come up with some discussion. We had a very lively discussion, actually, and did discuss not only the Heimlich maneuver, but Tim also talked about giving basic first aid instruction with the Heimlich maneuver, and then ways that we might put AED devices around town, because in East Village there are none. There are a few.
We have one at the Joslin Center.
Right, but there's nothing to the east on the east side at this point. So we had that kind of, and that might all become part of our strategic planning when we meet to do that on coming up with an idea to make, as Bill suggested, Cambria, giving Cambria the reputation for being a very healthy place to live and a commitment to health within the community.
Okay.
So, anyways, that's, yeah.
All
so
right.
We're working on grants.
Now turning to regular business under item E of our agenda, item 1, mid-year budget review for board consideration and possible action.
Thank you. You should have received two spreadsheets from Mike. Mike sent them out yesterday. Okay. And there are two of them. One has a big yellow stripe on the top, and the second one has a big red stripe on the top.
Or a green. Actually, green stripe.
Green stripe. Okay, for those of us that are
red-green colorblind.
That'll be colorblind. And let me set the stage for you of where we're going to, where we are at, and then where we're going to go. And I'm first going to direct you to the yellow sheet. And I'm going to also direct you to page 15 in the board packet. And if people don't have yellow sheets, I have extras that would help.
I got it.
Okay. If you look at page 15 in the board packet, the yellow sheet is the exact same sheet. And you can tell that again by looking at the lower right-hand corner. The number there in brackets is 111,904. And on the yellow sheet, it's 111,904. Okay. So the yellow sheet is 6 months of actuals and 6 months projected using the originally approved budget. Okay? So then we look at the green sheet. The green sheet includes 6 months of actual on the left-hand side, which is the same 6 months that's on the yellow sheet. But it includes now a revised 6 months projection for the current fiscal year. Okay? So if approved, just so we set the stage, if approved today, the budget will change for the year and agree with the green sheet. Okay? So let me go through some of the major items that we changed, which we looked at. We looked at each and every line. The first thing is there's a larger than originally projected number for the tax revenue in the month of January. We talked about the fact that the county has been going through some personnel changes, and they got behind in sending tax money. We got $157,000+ in the month of January, and now that's reflected in the new budget. Okay. We then looked at where we were on taxes for the entire year. If you go way over to the right-hand column, there's three columns. One that says revised in red on the top. Then there's the original 2019-20 budget amount, and this then an increase-decrease column, which is showing you the increase or decrease that we're projecting based from the original budget. Okay? So the two items, general tax and special tax, they're each showing both large negative and negative variance. The general tax is showing a positive variance of $43,977, and special assessment is showing a negative variance of almost the exact same amount, but $42,336. That is a net $1,700-plus difference. And overall, we didn't change our projections because we felt for $1,700 it was not significant enough to change. And if you go back to the August, September, October time frames, you will see that we have, in some of those lines, nothing. For example, in August, we have $6,353 on general tax, but nothing on special. Then the next month, we only have $707 on general, but we've got $19,047 in special assessment. Then October, it flips around again. It's $88,360 on general and nothing on special assessment. The reality is you should be getting taxes of both types each and every month. People don't take their tax bill and say, I'll pay the general tax, but I won't pay the special tax.
You don't do that?
No, I don't do that. Okay, so I think there's some reporting issues back in that period of time, that some of the dollars that are on one line need to be on another line or vice versa, which accounts for the net large variances on the right-hand column, the $43,000 positive and the $42,000 negative. I think if we, and Mike, you have put the request into the county to give us receipts by month, by type of tax, that once we get that, that these numbers are going to move around. The total won't change, but, you know, for example, October, the $88,360, some of that is special assessment.
I actually asked the tax manager, is there anything that she knows about that would negatively impact the amount of receipts that the district should expect? And the answer was no. She knew of nothing. So,
looking at revenue, we need to look at ambulance revenue. Okay. That we made no change here to our projections. Now, Tim is telling us that we have a busy January. Well, that's good news. Okay. But we'll see that in March and April when those receipts finally come. And when they're there, we'll pick them up. But we originally budgeted $590,419, and our updated projections are only $2,223 off of that.
Good.
So we decided, okay, we're comfortable with that. Monterey County. Monterey County money was not coming in as even and as predictable as we originally budgeted for the first 6 months. So we decided to ratchet back a little bit for the last 6 months. And we originally had $1,500 both in February and April, and we took those out to be conservative. That if the Monterey business picks up again, we'll pick it up when it happens. Okay? Again, trying to be conservative. The rent line, here's probably the biggest change from the original budget to the revised budget. We originally budgeted, most of this rent money comes from CHC. Okay? We get a little bit from the Lullaberry Inn every quarter. We get about $300, but most of this is from CHC. When we did the budget, CHC has indicated that they were going to probably be out of our location by the end of December. And as you know, they're moving up closer to the Cookie Crock. Okay? Well, that hasn't happened. nothing has happened up there. Okay. And we had nothing projected for the last 6 months of the year. So what we added is the continuation of the base rent for 3 months. And the current lease document calls for 135% increase starting in the month of April. So we put that in.
That's what it is.
Just got it this morning. Confirmed.
Okay.
Okay. So that's the biggest change. You can see we only budgeted $20,500, but we're now projecting $42,879. There's no other major...
Also, let me, when we're talking about CHC, they were late in paying their water bill, which is our water bill as well. And so we paid it so they wouldn't shut our water off. We made a payment on January 2nd. Then yesterday when I was at the district office, Simone brought a check in, or Mike showed me a check, where the services district was returning a check to us at our address, but it was from CHC, paying a lesser amount. It was the amount of the original bill. But they were way late. They should have paid a penalty. They didn't pay the penalty, and that's why the district threatened to shut our water off. So we are getting that sorted out and credited back to our accounts. We may end up eating, I don't know, $25,000 because we paid the late fee. Pardon? Sorry, $25. No, $25. Sorry. That's kind of like... Well, no, never mind. Bad memory. Anyway, yeah, I think we paid $552, and CHC's check was $523 or something. Anyway.
And the other item revenue miscellaneous, we had originally budgeted $3,600 for the year. That's roughly $300 a month. You can see the first 6 months, we only had $100, a little over $100, so we ratcheted that back in the last 6 months of the year.
Do you see any value of looking at some point at the miscellaneous list and seeing if some of those things could be identified for other columns in the long run in the future?
I think that's a worthy exercise to take a look at to see what's in there. Ideally, it'd be nice to never have a miscellaneous caption.
I think Simone has taken the action item at the Finance Committee meeting to go back and look at what sorts of items were posted to the miscellaneous line.
Yes. For the most part, it's the storage unit fee that we paid was in there. And in the July, that $6,434 was in there. Those were quality assurance fees that were paid to Monterey County Tax.
Wait, what? Which line are you talking about?
It's the July, it's in the budget analysis. That's it.
Oh, down. Oh, way down in the miscellaneous expense.
Yeah.
I thought we were at miscellaneous revenue.
Well, there's two miscellaneous.
Quality assurance fee to Monterey. That's what it said. It said quality assurance fee NCO tax.
I think this is a payback of the GEMT.
I think that's part of the GEMT. I'll double check on that.
Okay. Because that.
I just saw who the check was.
QI, QA, fees, or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah, but it probably would have been made to the state, not to the county of Monterey.
So would that belong in miscellaneous, or should it be?
We're not sure what the long term life is going to be of the GEMT program.
Or that QAP program.
Which is another name for GEMT.
Okay.
Quality Improvement
Fee. July of 2021, right. It'll be it, because the new program will
be it. Okay. We can revisit as we do the budget for next year and see if it makes sense to create a special something. Maybe we call it regulatory payments or something like
right,
that.
Right, but there's also the miscellaneous revenue line.
Yeah.
Were you going to take a look at that, Simone?
Both.
Or can you? to see what belongs in there?
I
know it's not much, but...
The only thing I have to go by are the amounts that are in there from before I was here.
Right, but if you look back to last year...
But it doesn't tell me what that 68 or 51 is. I have no idea where she pulled it from, so I don't know what miscellaneous...
Okay, you may want to, with your new bookkeeper, you may want to sit down and get, because you should be able somewhere to drill down and see what that was.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully.
Okay.
But remember, we did not have a financial person doing the job.
Correct. All right, let's go down into expenses. Salaries. We look at each individual line. And we spent more time looking at the experience of the October, November, December time frame in terms of run rate, because we had some very senior people depart, okay, during that first 6 months of this year, which were, if you will, high salary people. We felt that the November, December time frame was probably more representative of where we would be on a go forward. And for example, we had budgeted $16,416 in the admin line for the last 6 months originally, and we looked at the experience in November and December and said, it seems like a good number, it appears to be working, let's just continue where it is. We looked the same way at the full-time and part-time. The budgeted amount for full-time for the last 6 months was originally $47,192. Based on the experience of November and December, we felt $47,000 was too high, so we took that down $2,000 a month for the remainder 6 months to $45,000. We wanted to make sure that we had we wanted to be conservative because we're in the process of labor negotiations, and as we all know, labor rates never go down, they always go up, which is why you have negotiations. So we wanted to make sure that we had some dollars in there to absorb whatever ultimately is negotiated with the union. No one knows what that's going to be at this point, but we felt it prudent just to leave some dollars there. The same was true in part-time. We had originally budgeted for the last 6 months $7,417 a month. Based on our experience for October, November, December, we felt that $7,417 was too much. We took it down $1,000 each month, bringing it down to $6,417. We kept IT the way it is. We kept uniforms the way it was. medical and dental, we thought, based on run rates, that we were a little light. So we added $1,000 a month from January through June, because we're not sure what ultimately is going to happen with that through negotiations. Medicare, we looked at that, and we felt that it needed to actually remain the same. We had it budgeted for $19,690. We looked into the month of December. We're bubbled up to $24,887.
No, you're talking now about medical dental.
Okay, medical dental.
Medicare is that one line
right
below it.
Right. Medical dental, we added the $1,000 a month. We were concerned that we were going to be maybe too low for the remainder of the year. Now we're down to medical and dental.
No, Medicare.
Medicare.
And that's just Bob Sayers.
Right. And that $957 for the remainder of the year is Bob Sayers' monthly amount. Workers' comp, we have an annual policy starting July through June. Historically, a number of years ago, these are big numbers, and they would be paid in July when we had no cash. In the last couple of years, we worked with the insurance carrier to spread them out over the first 7 months of the year. The last payment for the current year is made in January of $8,547. We've given direction to the administrator to see on the upcoming new fiscal year 2021 to see if they can write us a six-month policy for July through December and then put ourselves on an annual calendar basis starting in January of 2021. And I've seen the paperwork back and forth. They haven't said no. They simply said it's too early to give you a quote on it.
They said they could probably do that in April.
Yeah. Maybe. Because if we renew the policy effective January 1 each year, we have the cash because of the December receipts that we can make the payment.
And then we don't have to pay interest.
Any interest.
Then you don't pay the interest.
Right.
Going down into the next group, we didn't make a lot of changes. I just want to point out liability and auto insurance. It's on the same basis as workers' comp, that we stretch the payments out, and the last payment is in January. Again, Mike has been given the direction to see if we can convert that to a six-month policy and then an annual calendar year for starting in 2021. Audit fees. We added $5,000 here to audit fees. We brought it from $10,500 to $17,560. If you look at the audit fees line, back in July, there's $2,060 that we paid. That was one of the items that was not followed through, where we had given direction last June to reach out to legal, audit, and other vendors to have a final billing so we could include it in the previous year. For whatever reason, for audit among others, it was not done. So that $2,060 payment has absolutely nothing to do with the current fiscal year. When we budgeted back in July, we simply budgeted a repeat of the audit fee for the previous year. When we finally got the engagement letter in, it was for $5,000 more, which was a function of they did more work last year than they originally believed, and a concern about new personnel this year that they're going to have to continue to do more work. So we budgeted for the full amount of their engagement letter, knowing that staff, once they go through the process and learn the process of what needs to be done in future years, we may see some relief in this number. Contracted services, illegal, we just kept it to $2,500 a month. That was the agreement with Jeff and his firm.
And we won't have any, there's nothing in election because there's not an election until next fiscal year.
Correct.
Okay.
Let's see what else we changed down here. Contracted services we changed. We have a fee for the new MS billing service of $599, okay, and it will start the end of next month in February, so we included that in that line. In that same line is Profit Max's fee for doing what they do, and over time, as those receivables run off, that fee will come down and ultimately be eliminated. Facilities, repair, and maintenance, we included the payment of $47,244, which has now been made for the parking lot, and we kept basically the original budgeted amount of $1,083 for each of the remaining 5 months in the fiscal year. The only other major change that we made was in the contingency reserve line. We have 20,000 in February and 20,000 in April. You can see the first part of the year, the first 6 months, there's nothing reflected in the contingency reserve. This was the issue. We did not have the ability to transfer the money to LEAF. We're now putting that in process, and this budget does not forget what we originally budgeted. In fact, we looked and we're projecting the ability to add an additional amount in the month of June of 20,000.
And so when we add, if we're able to add these amounts, then we will have built up the life account to 90,000, I believe.
Correct.
And that's almost enough money to buy another ambulance. So we might not necessarily want to buy one for cash unless we can build the account up further. Okay. But, and then Mike told me the other day that, is it Demers? And they're now going to be selling ambulances that are aluminum bodied? Is that correct?
Our 20 is an aluminum body ambulance.
20 is?
So we don't have the corrosion.
Oh, so the current ambulance that we bought is an aluminum body.
It's an aluminum body with powder coating paint versus a regular paint job. So they actually powder coat it and then bake it in an oven to make it stronger.
Fantastic.
And that's the other benefit of why I was a big proponent of this one. The inside is also different. If you look at 18, it's all particle board. 20s is all powder coated aluminum and steel. It holds more weight. It's more durable. It's a better quality ambulance than 18.
And we're looking into the advantages, disadvantages with the same company because we're pleased with their product, leasing versus purchasing. So we'll have more on that later.
Okay.
So when you put it all together, originally we had budgeted a net surplus of $2,314 on the lower right-hand side. That was the original budget that we approved in June of last year. With all the adjustments, including 6 months of actuals and 6 months of revised numbers that we went through, we're projecting that we would have a surplus of $19,198. So, it's amazing what you can do when you control expenses. And, I mean, to be quite honest, too, CHC helped us.
By sticking around.
By sticking around. Yeah. Are there any questions that I can answer?
Oh, okay.
Just to wrap this up, we probably need a motion just to accept.
Oh, yes, sorry.
That's the report for a revision of the budget for the remainder of the fiscal year.
Okay. Any second?
I'll second.
Okay. For the record, Dr. Hernandez and Dr. Lemire both seconded simultaneously. All those in favor,
aye.
Signify aye. All those opposed, okay. The revised budget is adopted, and we're going to take a short potty break.
And now you have the...
We're back in session at 3:57, and the next item of business is... E2, Monterey County South Valley Zone Ambulance Service Contract, cost evaluation for board consideration and possible approval for rate changes. And the Office of Primary Responsibility for this one is our administrator with his friend, the operations lead.
Yep. So, he did an excellent job, Simone. They helped me get this cost breakdown in your packet, which you collected and reviewed. Essentially, now that we had a chance to do the cost breakdown,
let me bring the mic over to you. Mic over to Mike.
Speak from my diaphragm.
As they say.
So we broke down the cost, estimated cost to provide service to Monterey County. One of the, you know, I contacted Monterey County EMR's general manager as well as the county EMS, acting EMS director, because the other one retired in September. And we went back and forth a little bit trying to figure out what they're doing, because their world is changing a tad bit. Just Monday of this week, Monterey County approved a two-year extension to AMR's contract, which was good news for me because now I can just deal direct with AMR, and you know, we don't, because before that I didn't know exactly who I was going to be dealing with or what the process was going to be. So they have a two-year extension, so we're good to go. So now I'm back to negotiating with the general manager there, and I had a conversation with him. He's very cooperative. I don't see any problems there. Long story short, based on these figures that you see, my recommendation is that because we our costs appear to be covered, we're not behind, we're not losing money on the process, unless the call becomes protracted, which does happen sometimes up there, where they're up there for 6+ hours, you know, either due to access or extrication over the side, those kind of things, you know, that come into play. So my recommendation is that we continue the same $1,500 fee to AMR for providing service responses up there, with a caveat of adding a $148 per hour fee for anything over 6 hours. That would allow for, if we had to call in an off-duty crew to cover the district, for example, or hold over, say, Medic 12, for example, supposed to go home at 8 o'clock, and we said, well, can you hold over till 11 gets back, and we're paying overtime, those kind of things, that money would cover the additional impact on the district. So, questions?
With the same type of gross margin?
Yes.
I would suggest that you, one, because you're charging an additional fee,
mm-hmm.
that you make it a round number.
Okay.
Don't make it $148, make it $150 or $175, $200.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if they're going to agree to $148, they're going to agree to $200. I would recommend $200.
I believe that's accurate. That's true. And Tim could probably, based on his history with that service area, allude to how often do we go past 6 hours. It doesn't happen every call, so this may be a somewhat rare occasion.
But let me, before you answer, let me ask again, because you might not have understood what I meant by gross margin. Okay, so our basic $1,500
mm-hmm.
has, based on the cost of that $1,500, has a gross margin of approximately just under 70%.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That $148, I have a feeling, if I read the verbiage here correctly, is basically if you had your highest priced help on the call, that's what their overtime would cost.
That's the cost per unit hour. Unit hour cost, I should say.
Right.
Yes.
But that doesn't have a margin of 70% built into it. So that's what Bill's alluding to.
Mm, good point.
Right?
Yeah.
So if you take 70% of the 148, it's got a calculator handy, I don't.
About $105.
It adds about $105. So the standby rate for each additional hour should actually be $250. If it adds $105 to $148,
good point.
Then that's $253, and you can round down to $250. So I would say that that's the way it ought to be. And when you come right down to it, guess what? $250 happens to be 1/6 of $1,500. Mm-hmm. So it's a consistent thing.
I'd like to make a motion that we add this fee structure of $250 to Monterey County for time spent in excess of 6 hours.
I would second it.
Okay. So, Director Rice, need a motion? Director Gray, Seconded. Is there any further discussion?
Just to clarify, anything over 6 hours, $250 an hour.
$250 an hour.
Okay.
Now, to also clarify, that's if there's no transport. If you start transporting,
then we bill for service.
Then you bill for service. You don't pay that. You don't charge someone an additional $250 on top of
the transport. No, the $250 is paid to Monterey County. The transport charge goes to the patient.
Yes, but here's what I want to clarify. When does the $250 start? When does the 6 hours end? Does it end when the patient's being transported?
Good question. I would recommend time on task, meaning the time from the time the car started till the time they got to the hospital, because that unit is out of or is not available
till the time they get to the hospital or till the time they get back to the station.
Could even go that. That's actually time on task. True.
Because you're 6 hours. Was that time on task?
That is accurate time on task, because that resource is not available to the district.
That's the time from, that's roughly the average time between dispatch
and return to the station
to get back in our response area is about 6 hours.
So anything above 6 hours time on task from the time they respond until the time they get back.
Regardless of whether there's a transport or not.
Yep.
Correct.
That's true.
If someone from the public in Monterey or locally were to ask, is that exorbitant? My answer would be that we need that sort of cost payment overhead coverage, because we may have to do certain creative things to make sure that we are bolstering our responses during some serious period when we're involved with the Monterey.
And I would feel confident answering that question to a public member, because that is not exorbitant in our industry.
Mm-hmm.
These type of things are done frequently for remote areas or special circumstances like this.
Okay.
Put another way, $1,500 gets you 6 hours of time.
Basically, mm-hmm. Yes.
All right, so what's the vote of the board?
Why are you standing up?
Because I'm going to get the mic back.
I thought it was something important.
Well, it is. It is for anybody that wants to listen to our recorded meetings. Anyway, so signify by saying aye if you agree with the motion.
Aye.
Aye. Anybody opposed? Passing 5-0. Thank you.
Moving on to agenda item 3, E3, board to consider a new community healthcare needs survey. Mike?
Yes, my understanding is that the district has in the past, I'm not sure exactly when, did a healthcare needs survey to the community, and it has been some time to where it may behoove us to consider doing that again, so that we can assess the public's perceived needs for all things healthcare.
Would we use the exact same survey?
This was done in 2016, and it was a 10-item survey with a couple of open-ended, most of them were open-ended questions. And the survey asked, where do you currently receive your primary health care? Are you within district boundaries? Are you out of boundary? Are you satisfied with that service? And then what types of services do you think the district needs? I think I covered it, right?
Sure. Very good.
Yeah. So you can use the same survey with the understanding that because we have a bit of attrition within our community, that we would probably not be getting everybody who had responded before to respond again. But we do have a number of new community members, and we have added a new primary care opportunity for people as well. So
I think it might be it might be worth just updating it and having a question.
Mm-hmm.
Are you aware of the new primary care clinic?
Can I make a suggestion? Well,
sure.
How about if we do what we did before, and we ask the healthcare advocacy committee
sure.
to evaluate this, and maybe also talk to the facilities committee, because there may be questions that would pertain to needed services, either leased or
mm-hmm.
sponsored, and then bring a draft joint effort back to the board to review.
Sounds
good.
Sounds great.
Any chance of doing this electronically in today's day and age with like a Survey Monkey?
Well, there's that possibility, but there's a number of our residents who are.
Can we do it electronically? There's programs like Survey Monkey that you could do.
So I think that's something that the Healthcare Advocacy Committee should
Agreed.
Look at.
Right.
In our community, there is maybe a growing ability to do that compared to what we had a few years ago when we looked into it. But something we could look at what the pros and cons would be, or maybe offering both.
How did you do it last time? Was it a mail out or
mail? It was mail
with the water bill. Okay, so the Healthcare Advocacy Committee will take this on as an action.
Yeah.
Okay.
Next item.
For maybe completion within the next 60 days or as soon as possible.
As soon as possible.
Okay. Great. So the next item is item E4. Which is the assistance to firefighters FEMA grant application approval. Lori?
Okay, and I apologize because my iPad went dead and I don't have an outlet to plug it back in. But essentially, the application draft is relatively complete. There may be some more, a little bit more wordsmithing and some more typos to correct, but Bill was pretty thorough, and I got through most of those. Anyways, what I'm asking for is, what we're asking for through this grant is for them to fund the purchase of three power lift cots or stretchers, an upgrade kit for one of our existing stretchers, and then four power loading systems that would be fitted into each of our four ambulances. And you've been provided the grant with the rationale on why this would be a good thing and how it will save or decrease the risk of injury to the employees. And then also to ask for funds to replace our two 12-lead EKG monitors, which are now at the end of their service life. The total grant amount is $238,477 to cover the cost of that equipment, as well. FEMA likes you to purchase extended warranty service agreements, and I did put in an amount of $20,000, but we didn't get some more information from the EKG manufacturer for their extended warranty, which increases that to $26,636 total. So with FEMA, because of our population size, we would be asked to provide 5% matching funds, which would be a little bit over $13,000 should we be funded for the entire requested amount. So what I'm asking the board to do is approve our grant application for that amount, for that equipment, and for that amount, and that once the funding opportunity actually opens up their window for submission, that we go ahead and submit the grant application.
So do you want to make a motion?
So do I make the motion?
You can.
Okay. I move that the board approve the FEMA application request and be in support of the 5% matching funds.
Okay. Any second?
Second.
Bill Rice seconds. Any discussion? Hearing none. A vote, please. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Passing 5-0.
I have a question about something that was, or maybe we weave it into the grant discussion, which was that Lori and I met to talk about a strategic planning approach, and we were kind of hoping to give some highlights, but I realize now that we might want to do it under the grants umbrella if we could. Does that make sense to report on that?
Right now?
Yeah.
If it's so agreeable to...
Okay, so we've done the firefighter assistance to firefighters FEMA grant application approval, so that's done. So you want to, as part of this agenda item, talk about strategic planning as it relates to grants?
Maybe it's a better idea to put it on.
You could put it on the February agenda.
Yeah, or propose a date for that. separate from this.
We had had a kind of hold the date. Remember, we talked about a strategic planning meeting, and we had like a hold the date. I saw on the calendar. So I don't know how soon. My sense was that we were going to report today, and then I realized that it's not exactly there, but it kind of fits under grants in a way. I don't know. We met, and the idea was that we would want to set a date in the near future to do an initial strategic plan meeting, basically. I don't know. But I thought this was concurrent with what we had said at the end of our last meeting. But we basically want to talk about what are we seeing ourselves wanting to be in the next, in this new decade, in the next 10 years. How do we see our mission changing potentially or not? How do we see our different opportunities, specifically too with our building and our the rental situation having been noticed? What kinds of things should we be thinking of in the long run and the short run? So that was what I thought our direction was for us to do.
I would suggest holding a special meeting to just discuss that. I mean, right now we're running over 3 hours.
Well, we can't do it now.
And so why don't we... do you want to do it before the regular board meeting in February?
And then to report on it, put on the agenda to report.
But do you think you're going to be able to do strategic planning in one meeting? Or
no,
is it going to be a series of meetings?
And I have a question about that, just by the way. Would it be appropriate, or would that be an ad hoc committee for strategic planning?
I would think strategic planning should actually involve the entire board.
Okay.
And I mean, the board paid, what was it, $20,000 to have some expert come in, which is defined as somebody from out of town with a briefcase, to run a strategic planning session, which...
What was that?
It was, I don't know, it was like 3 years ago, and... It was. It was a fiasco. I thought, anyway. And I think that we can probably run our own strategic planning session, but it ought to be at a time set that is doesn't take away from the main mission in the next 60 days or so, and the main mission in the next 60 days. Is to convert our billing system so that we can start getting additional monies into the district.
Maybe you want to set a special meeting for March.
Maybe in early March.
You know, and then that gave everybody a chance to kind of mull it over and come up with some ideas. You know,
maybe you could consider maybe late February or something. The thing that spurred this was a close walk at the current building that I got involved around Christmas time in really looking at the crew quarter issues and then talking with Mike about this the weaknesses. Of our current building and what the long-term plan could potentially be. And so I was...
But that's just one facet of strategic.
That was what spurred it. And then Lori and I met this week and developed what we think is could be a thorough discussion of what we could be backed up with all kinds of data on current trends, and potential resources, which is why I linked it to this mention to the grants discussion, because some of what we might want to do could be linked to setting ourselves up for grants that could be available. So I think it's at your pleasure when you think it's best.
Well, our February meeting is
the 19th.
Why not do it the Tuesday after that?
The 25th.
How do Tuesdays look for people?
They're fine.
They're fine?
Fine? Don't know yet.
Maybe we could, because I remember.
All right.
We could circulate that.
Well, why don't we just have, as a tentative placeholder, the 25th, and then we can confirm back to Mike if the 25th works.
Okay. And would you be open to Barbara and I circulating some background information?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. So we will do that as well.
Okay. So, all right.
I'm sorry, I wrote it down. Did you put the morning or afternoon?
Afternoon is fine as long as it's reasonably early afternoon.
One. We're going to do it here, or do we want to do it off-site in Hawaii? Hawaii or someplace?
Well, if you wait till... If you wait till March 11th, that's where I'm going. So.
Okay, and you have room for us then?
Yeah, it's a two-bedroom. All right. Then, so we voted on that. It's approved. Grant submission approved. Next item, E5.
Yep.
Local Agency Investment Fund Resolution for Board Consideration and Adoption. I presume you need our Secretary's signature on it.
Yes, I need the... long story short, I'll take the case, but basically when I communicated with the people up in Sacramento, with the late group, there's a process, and I have the paperwork, and basically we have the board needs to pass a resolution, the correct document here, authorizing
myself and Simone to have access to the online account. They'll generate us a PIN and password stuff so that we can access it, and then we know what we're doing. We can transfer funds in and out. We can report how much is in there, how much interest we're getting, so forth.
Let's move that we approve the LAIF resolution designating Simone and Mike as representative of the Board of Directors.
Any second?
Second.
Lori seconds. By voice vote, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed? None heard. So you have an original for our secretary to...
He has a signature at the bottom of that form, signed indeed.
Okay.
Send that off and we'll be good to go.
We have already completed closed session at the beginning of today's meeting. Declaration of future agenda items. Yes, Barbara?
I have two items. One is to see if we could have the quality report from County EMS in our February meeting. And the second is a discussion about initiating revision of our local hazard mitigation plan, we have a local hazard mitigation plan, and it simply means we would officially reach out to the fire department to work collectively at looking at the current plan and making any modifications or changes, which would also help support grant requests to FEMA when you can state that you have a annually updated local hazard mitigation plan.
Maybe you can give me details on that.
Right, no, I got it.
You can forward me the details on that.
It's a big fat thing.
Just so you know, the quality report is a good idea. It was done last January, I believe, when I looked at the records. They at the moment have a staffing shortage at County MSA. I called NASA if they could do that, and they said we'd love to, but we're a little short-handed right now. So I'll keep up on that and try to get that done.
Okay.
They're willing to do it. They're just they've been left and they haven't replaced it yet. And he's usually the one that usually does that. capacity.
Are there any other items for future agenda? There was something that I talked to Mike about, but my 73-year-old brain isn't computing.
You can add it at any time.
I know.
Yeah, we'll...
Tim, do you have any items?
Now, if I have any information about the unit we talked about, I will bring it.
That might be it.
Why don't we discuss acquisition of the next ambulance?
And I'll get information for like leases on through Demir's also,
right.
So we can discuss all that stuff.
And so Tim has identified a potential source of a Type 3 ambulance, which is four-wheel drive and has a winch. And so if a special meeting needs to be called to discuss that, then we can call a special meeting.
Would you like to send that to the Property and Facilities Committee?
Do I need board approval?
We would need board approval.
No,
certainly.
But I need for a recommendation.
Do ambulances historically fall under that committee? Ambulance acquisition? Okay. Good job.
Okay. And then if you all call a special meeting of the property, well, let's see, if you're going to have one.
If it is Friday, I can do it. I mean, if it's in there Friday on my calendar, I can do it Friday.
This Friday.
But I have to. I'll create the agenda today.
All right.
I doubt seriously I'll have any information before Friday, honestly. I'll reach back out to my contacts at Cal Fire and see if I can find anything, but I wouldn't count on having any information before Friday.
Well, we'll have a monthly meeting. I mean, for a while.
Yeah, it's not going to go away in the next couple of days.
No, it's not going anywhere anytime soon.
So we need to have a little bit of time.
Well, so then why don't we just have on the agenda for the next regular meeting a discussion at least of future
ambulance acquisition. That's what I wrote down, just in general.
And if the Property and Facilities Committee needs to meet, especially to hear a recommendation on the purchase of this ambulance that is apparently owned by Cal Fire, then you can do that.
If it doesn't go to Property and Facility Committee, then I would ask what property means in that title. It would be a good thing for that committee to have.
Sure.
To do.
No, that's fine.
That reminds me of something, by the way, that's important to Project Tim and I are working on, revising our policies and procedure manuals, et cetera, et cetera. If each committee chair would help me define that committee's policy, or you know what their mission,
purview,
their mission statement,
yeah.
For their purview, because that's something that's supposed to be in our policies anyway. Is you know, you can have committees, but what are they kind of like a charter? What are they chartered to do by the board? So I'll be looking for that in the near future.
And if the Property and Facilities Committee gets down a road where it looks like an acquisition of another ambulance is starting to make sense, before it comes to the board, whatever your recommendation is going to be, I think it needs to go through the Finance Committee first.
Definitely.
Before coming to the board.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever you think is right.
Yep. All right. Hearing no other agenda items for the future. Meeting is adjourned. The regular meeting of the Board of Directors is adjourned at 4:27 p.m. Thank you very much.
Thank you. How do I turn this off? Stop? Did I just hit stop?